Normally, I usually don't turn to a lot of passages, maybe a few, but a lot of times I'll type them out, so I already have it, kind of don't have to turn to it. But just the way it worked out, look at all the bookmarks for today. So if you miss one, don't worry. You might miss more than one, but we'll see what we can do. So, but if you're the scripture reading this morning will be James 5:12 along with Matthew 5:33-37. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. James 5, verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. And then Matthew 5, starting in verse 33. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. And anything beyond these is of evil. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Oh Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the love that you have for us. Lord, we don't deserve it, but we thank you so much for caring for us, that you would not leave us in darkness, but you would teach us. Lord, that you would convict us, that you would bring us to faith in Christ and continue to walk with us, Lord, and help us through this life. We thank you for your instructions. We pray that you would help us now to love you more, to learn from your word, and walk in obedience to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Truth is really under attack, and you know, this world is so full of truth hiding, truth denying, truth ignoring. Sinful man, we are so often rebelling against the truth. You know, in our depravity, sinful man has often opened our mouth and said what is not true. You can say that this world evolved over millions of years. You can say that babies that are still inside the womb aren't really people. You can say that there's no difference between boys and girls, but it doesn't make it true. But this is really what sinful man does. In pursuit of all our sinful perversions, we constantly reject the truth and hold on to lies. We hide behind these lies, trying to excuse ourselves from the guilt of our sins that we're committing. Certainly, at times, sinful man is blatantly opposing God. But at other times, trying to look religious all while living in sin. Our confession of sin this morning from Psalm 14 began, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." But why? Why does the fool deny the truth of God's existence? He doesn't want to submit to a higher power. He doesn't want to do the good that God wants, but rather he wants to continue on his own corrupt path. And so the fool rejects the truth of God's existence. Or he tries to, he claims to. But certainly, we can recognize here that we all at one point were on the wrong side of this fight as well. We were lying and cheating and living in sin. As Ephesians 2 mentions, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." We too were living as we wanted to, not submitting to God, not walking in truth. But what happened? I mean, what happened to us? "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." God saved us out of our darkness. And that's really at the heart of what James is teaching us here in James 5:12. He's reminding us to speak truth. He's reminding us, don't live like an unbeliever. That's not who you are now that you're in Christ. You see, if you've trusted Christ for salvation, he's changed your heart. He's changed your life. And that change will be very evident in the opening of your mouth. You're no longer to speak against the truth in any way, but now, because you are in Christ, because Christ is in you, speak truth. And so we speak truth. You know, even when you're guilty of sin, you don't deny your guilt, you don't hide your sin. Instead, you confess it. You turn from it. You praise God for his love and forgiveness. You speak the truth. You don't say, "I have not sinned," if you have, but you say, "I have sinned. And Christ has forgiven me. Christ has died for me." Really, this is just another mark of a true believer, as James has been going through here, that you leave your sinful way of life behind you and you walk in truth. James says, Christians, speak truth. We're not to continue lying and deceiving as we did in our former manner of life before we came to Christ. But now we're to be honest. We're to speak the truth. Ephesians 4:17 through 32 speaks of this. "This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. But this is what happens when Christ changes us. We no longer walk as we used to. We no longer talk as we used to. But laying aside the old self, we put on the new self. We lay aside falsehood and we speak truth now to each other. Now, James has already given us many instructions on the tongue, the use of our mouth. And so here in James 5:12, he gives us more. And to sum up what he's teaching us here, I would say, be honest, speak truth, and live it out. Be honest, speak truth, and live it out. You know, he begins this verse really emphasizing the importance of these instructions. He says, but above all, it's as if he's saying, you know, I'm telling you important things here, but especially this, pay special attention to this right here. But above all, we just could not pay too much attention to the words that we speak. So here James addresses a problem that sinful man has had for years, and one in which we still see today. All men are liars. All men are liars. Sinful men lie and deceive and intentionally mislead and misrepresent. And really, to no surprise, these people are also not honest about who they are either. They don't admit to being a liar or a deceiver. But these deceivers want to find a way to convince others that they're actually telling the truth this time, even though they're not. They look for ways to convince people that this time is different, that this time they will actually do what they promised. And so really, as a tool to help them deceive people, they incorporate the use, or should I say misuse, of vows and oaths into their everyday conversation. The word James uses here is swear. He says, "My brethren, do not swear." Now this swearing is not talking about filthy talk or bad language, not speaking of using curse words. But this swearing is making an oath. or a vow. And when you swear like this, what you're doing is you're making a claim to the truth, or you're promising to deliver something, and then you are calling on God as a witness to you making this vow. And also you're calling on God's punishment upon yourself if you don't stay true to your vow. So understand, this is a very serious thing. To swear an oath, to take a vow, it should never be done lightly. Now, there is a time and a place for swearing an oath or making a vow, but it's always a serious occasion. Never to be done carelessly or flippantly. And it was also always to be done in the name of God. Deuteronomy 6:13 says, "You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name." Even God swore by himself in Hebrews 6. In Hebrews 6, starting in verse 13, says, "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you.' And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge and laid hold of the hope set before us." So swearing an oath or making a vow is only for serious occasions. It's only to be done in the name of God. And one more important note is that the vows that we make are to be kept. We must keep them. We must follow through. In Psalm 15, the first four verses, this is a Psalm of David, it says, "O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell in thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord." Now listen to this part, the end of verse 4 in Psalm 15. "He swears to his own hurt and does not change." And does not change. That's important. You see, the righteous man who walks in his integrity speaks truth in his heart, and when he swears an oath, he keeps it. He keeps it. Even if it hurts him. Even if it costs him. So when it comes to swearing an oath, it's only for serious occasions. It's only in the name of God, and it is to be kept. Now the point that James is making here is not that we should never swear an oath. or never make any vows. There are many examples throughout Scripture of people swearing an oath and taking vows, and besides God, doing it himself, which I read. But James is pointing to the deceitfulness and the misuse of vows. And here we see James says, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Well, what is this swearing by heaven or earth? Let's look at a few other passages that I think really help shine light on what James is talking about here. You know, in Matthew, Jesus is teaching and really getting to the heart of the issue. People were considering themselves to be innocent of different sins, such as adultery. And Jesus would point to their heart and say, you know, even if you haven't touched a woman, if you've lusted for her in your heart, you're guilty. You see, men would entertain all kinds of lustful thoughts and fantasies in their mind. And then just because they haven't physically committed the immoral act, they would consider themselves to be innocent and blameless. And Jesus points to their filthy heart and says, you're still guilty. You're still in sin. And so Jesus here, really dealing with people who are kind of pretending to be religious. People who are making some claims to godliness, but yet who are not truly seeking the Lord. And so we see here, Jesus really deals with some of these same issues that James is talking about. In Matthew 5, 33 through 37 says, again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, and anything beyond these is of evil. Another passage, later on in Matthew, Matthew 23, 16 through 22, Jesus is speaking again. He says, woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering upon it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, he who swears, swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple, swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And he who swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. And so you see what's happening here. People knew that swearing an oath was a way of giving others confidence in them. Confidence that you are telling the truth. Confidence that you would fulfill your word. that you meant what you said. And so these liars and deceivers would implement swearing into their everyday conversations and interactions. But they used it all as a means of deceit, for they never intended to follow through with it. They would make these vows with no intention of keeping them. It would be like today if a man wanted to borrow his brother's car and he said, "Hey, let me borrow your car. I will fill it up with gas before I bring it back." And his brother says, "Last time you borrowed my car, you brought it back empty." And he says, in order to try to convince his brother so that he can get what he wants, he says, I swear I will fill it up before I bring it back. But the truth is, he has no intention of ever filling it up before he brings it back. You see how evil this is. But this was common. This was common practice. I mean, as it is today. Don't get me wrong. But this is what was going on. You see, his swearing is just a ploy to deceive and get what he wants. His oath doesn't change his heart. He's still a liar and a deceiver. Doesn't matter what he promised or what he swore to you. He has no intention of doing it. But what made their sins all the worse is really that they're using the Lord's name in vain here. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, "I swear to God. I swear to God." Well, what we see here is that people knew that it was a serious matter to swear to God and then not keep your word. And so they would sort of flirt with this implication of swearing to God without actually saying his name. And so they would say, "Well, I swear by heaven," or "I swear by the earth," or "I swear by Jerusalem." And then when they didn't follow through with what they had promised, well, then they'd use this excuse and say, "Well, I'm not obligated because I didn't swear on God's name. I didn't say his name." They swore by heaven, but not the God of heaven. They swore by earth, but not the God of earth. And so the whole point is that God is tied to all of it. Heaven is God's. The earth is God's. Heaven is his throne, the earth his footstool. And the point really is, you wicked men, stop taking the name of the Lord in vain. Stop using this system of swearing to deceive and lie and cheat each other. This is not what Christians do. Now, certainly we see this all the time. You know, when I was a kid and was around other kids at school, and different times, different circumstances on the playground or other places, there would be interactions and kids, I would hear kids say, "I swear to God," or "I swear on my mother's grave," or "I swear, cross my heart, hope to die." And then what happens is, you know, you do your part of the deal, and surprise, surprise, they don't follow through with their side. And you say, "What happened? You told me you were going to do this." And they say, you know, well, I had my fingers crossed. This is the same thing. This is the same thing. They had no intention of following through with their word. It's so childish and sinful, and yet adults are no better. Not at all. It's the same old scheme. It's all just a game liars play to deceive people in order to get what they want. Only it's not a game. It's real life. It's sin. And James' point here is that this is not God's way. This is not God's way. This is not the way for followers of Christ to live or act or speak. He says, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. Let your yes actually mean yes and your no actually mean no. Speak the truth. Be honest. Just be straightforward. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. Don't say things if you don't intend to do them. Now, don't misunderstand the point here. James is not condemning the use of all oaths and vows altogether. There are appropriate times. Certainly, if you testify in a court of law and they ask you to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, there's nothing wrong with that. Or on your wedding day, when you make your vows to your wife and you, before God as your witness, you promise to love and care for her, that is good. That is good and right. And I'm not saying that these two are the only acceptable examples. I'm not saying that either. But my only point is that these are not what James is condemning. This is what he's condemning. James is condemning a life of lying and cheating. He's condemning a life that has some religious ties, but has no interest in seeking God. He's condemning a life that uses loopholes and excuses for not loving your neighbor. And at the end of the verse, he warns, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. These deceitful people are in trouble. So speak truth. Be honest. God wants us to be so consistent and faithful with our words that for us to give our word, it is as good as a signed legal document. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Now, it's also, I think, worth mentioning that it isn't always easy. It isn't always easy to walk in integrity. I mean, even when you had good intentions. It isn't always easy to swear to your own hurt and not change. It can be incredibly hard. But we must keep our word. You know, there have been times in my life, difficult times, where I gave my word and I wished I hadn't. Oh, man, I wished I hadn't said I would do this. And there's been times where I look back at some of those harder times and I'm just amazed that I actually followed through that I kept my word. And because it was so hard, it was so uncomfortable, it cost me in many different ways. It cost me. And everything inside of me wanted to just say, no, forget it. I've had enough. I'm done. I'm out of here. But I stuck it out. And when I look back at that, I don't think, wow, Wayne, I mean, you are a really good guy. What a guy. No, not at all. I look back at that with amazement that I kept my word, and I say, that didn't come from me. There's no way. That was God working through me. He was helping me to keep my word when it wasn't easy to do. It's because of Christ that we keep our word. It's because of Christ that we aren't lying and cheating each other. It's because of Christ working in us that we walk in integrity and keep our word. So all the glory goes to Him. All the glory goes to Him. And let's be honest. You know, some of this, the wording I've chosen in some of this, I've spoken as though this is a problem we used to have before Christ, right? But the reality is, we still struggle. We still struggle to keep our word. We still see those opportunities to take advantage of people. We're not blind to those. We're not immune to those temptations. And so, as we look at this text, shame on us if we are looking at everyone else or looking at unbelievers and condemning them and not first looking at ourselves and saying, how am I being misleading? Are there areas of my life that I am trying to make something look one way when I know that's not what I'm doing? I know that's not where I'm going to go or what I'm going to do. We need to be honest, straightforward. What a great reminder for us, though. We need the reminder. The temptations come, and sometimes surprising. You know, you think of lying and you think, yeah, I remember struggling with that when I was a kid. But sometimes things can come up and you can shock yourself with, whoa, I feel a strong temptation to say what is not true here. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to speak the truth. It is, that was who we used to be before Christ. But Christ has changed our hearts, and He's changed the way we treat each other. He's changed the way we speak. That we speak truth. Straightforward. We follow through, all because of Him. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank You for these reminders. Lord, we thank You for these instructions. Lord God, You are faithful. You follow through with Your promises. Lord, we pray that you would help us more and more to be like Christ, to be people of integrity, to follow through with our word. Lord, we pray that you would help us not to be deceitful, not to lie. Lord, we pray that when we do, we would repent quickly. We would confess. Lord, we pray that our mouths would bring you glory, that we would use our mouth to honor you, to speak truth, and not lies to each other. Lord, we thank you most of all for Christ, for dying for us on the cross, for the work that you're doing in us, Lord, that we can even see this and recognize how wrong it is and not see it as a wise endeavor. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these instructions. We pray you would work in us according to your will. Accomplish all that you desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.